Amen. God is so good. He's so awesome. I'm going to get into this because I do have to honor the time, your time. So I wanted to start off with asking you guys, have you ever been out driving around the city or something and you've seen a beautiful sports car? Like for me, like something that came to my mind was like a Corvette ZR1. And it pulls up to you and it has that 5.5 liter twin turbo V8 with 1,000 horsepower. And as you're sitting at your light, you know, for me, it's in my 2009 Honda Odyssey, and I'm sitting there at the light, and this sports car, you know, growling, pulls up next to me. And as it approaches you, you're like, man, I want to see who's driving that. That must be an athlete. That must be someone, you know, that must be someone rich and young in this. And it pulls up to you, and it's like an 80-year-old man. You know that that car goes from 0 to 60 in like 2.5 seconds. And as the car approaches you, you're just like, what? You're just so confused by this visual. Or how about, for my, you know, I really thought of Liz when I was writing this. The Jeeps, all right? I love the Jeeps. Liz is a Jeep girl. Her Jeep is dope. I look at sometimes a nice Jeep with rims and the ducts in the front and all of this. And, you know, did you know that they have an electronic differential that distributes power evenly to both axles, right? It has an electronic sway bar so that when you're doing off-roading, that thing just electronically shifts so you don't tip. It also has all these skid plates protecting all the important elements of the car underneath. And you're sitting at the corner in your 2009 Honda Odyssey. And that thing pulls up next to you, and what you see is a 20-year-old girl with a swimsuit top and flip-flops with those doors off. And you're like, what's going on? And some duckies. Don't forget the duckies. Imagine having all of those capabilities at your disposal but never using them. If we break it down, let's think about this. It's hard to fathom that a man would sacrifice their whole lives, go to college, do 7 years in college, sacrifice their family for a career, spend 40 years laboring in whatever field as a doctor, as a lawyer, pour blood, sweat, and tears into that, spend over $100,000 plus on a machine like this that could go 0 to 60, only to go from point A to point B at 65 miles per hour. Let's think about that. How about a smartphone? Look at the things you could do with a smartphone. You could do GPS navigation, video editing, health tracking, translation, remote control for some of your smart devices, audio production, learning languages, etc. And there's so much more that you could do. Graphic design, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. But most people, the typical person, just uses it to text, get on social media, scroll a couple pictures, and take a couple phone calls. With advanced technology, there are many different items that we use on a day-to-day basis that have so many functions, but are rarely used to their full potential. Well, the same goes for the church. Today, God has given me the charge. I promise you guys, I was preaching about something else, and God just gave me this stirring in my stomach to confront stagnation, to challenge complacency, and to activate power here at Kingdom Co. So how do I do this, though? God is like, yo, Kev, do this. And I'm like, cool, but how? How do I encourage a body to exercise functions that you might not even know exist? It'd be easy if I knew you were a basketball player to say, hey, go to the court, shoot some hoops, you're a basketball player. But how do I encourage you in your gift if you don't even know your functions? As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about this famous white guy, rapper. His name is Marshall. And one of my favorite scenes in this movie, right, he was doing a rap battle with this guy named Papa Doc. And the thing about this that happened, and this is why I'm mentioning this, is that Eminem in the movie 8 Mile, he came up with a strategy in 8 Mile. When he got into this battle, what he started to do was he said, I know what the enemy is going to say about me. So before he does that, let me expose myself first. Let me tell you, before you tell everybody my secrets and my dirt, let me tell you first. Today we're going to B-Rab at the enemy. Today we're gonna give you the tools to have no excuse and give the enemy nothing to say for you to unleash what God has given you in this place. Step one. This is step one. You have to know who you are in Christ first. I'm going to give you a couple scriptures real quick. Does everybody in this room, by a show of hands, confess to be believers in Christ? Everyone in here? You need to know, believe, and remind yourself of this. You have to know who you are, you have to believe who God said you are, and you have to continue to remind yourself of who God says you are. You are a chosen generation, says in 1 Peter 2:9. Chosen by who? By God. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. And listen, this is not designed just to get from point A to point B. It's that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You're a chosen people so that you could proclaim. So he's saying, you're chosen, but you got to do something too. You got to proclaim how He's taken you out of the darkness. And I don't care where you were before Christ. Without Christ, you were in the dark. I don't care how much money you had in the street, darkness. I don't care what your family name is here in East Vineland, darkness. I don't care what good you were to people and how many clothing drives you did, dark. I don't care how many charities you attended, dark. Who you are without Christ is a sinner. Darkness. So you have to know who you are. Yes. Oh, but with Christ, this is the beautiful message. Ephesians 2:10 says, you are God's handiwork. Created in Christ. So you were created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. Oh, we're starting to be rabbit right now. If we stop the sermon right here, we can already see that God has a purpose for each and every single person in here's life. Because you all said that you are believers. What are you doing with the time and the gifts that God has allotted you in your borrowed time here on earth? What are you doing with that gift? We can establish that you all have gifts, but my question to you is, what are you then doing with them? Step two, you got to know your role. But Pastor Jose, I'm shy. I don't even like people. I'm antisocial. How many times have you heard it? You've heard it all, right? I don't want nobody all up in my business. If I step into that church, it's going to burn down to the ground because I'm a worse sinner than anybody. Or, how about this? I don't know my gift. Have you ever asked somebody, Pastor Jose, like, yo, man, what is your gift? And they're like, I don't know. They don't even know their own identity in Christ. I don't know it. I don't know what it is. One thing we need to establish before anybody leaves this place today is that we all have a gift, each one of you guys. Each one of you guys has gifts. Romans 12, 6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Not one of us, each of us. 1 Peter 4, 10 said, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each of you. So now this is what the Bible is saying, that each of you has a gift and each of you should be using it for something. But what are we doing with the gifts that God has? What are we doing with our functions? You know what I look at as point A to point B? Cruise control, 65 miles per hour. I feel like that's coming to church once a week, sitting in the back and just being like, this is cool. I'm comfortable. I've done this. I just want to sneak in and sneak out. You ever heard somebody say that? Or how about this one? How about these lies? This is my season to just sit back. This is my season to receive. This is not my season to serve. This is my season to receive. How about this? What if God told you to go? What if God said, don't sit right now. I need you to plow right now. Don't just sit back right now. It's go time. You are called for a time such as this. In your weakness, I will be there to make you strong. How about when God says go? Understand this. The gifts you have in you were given to you by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12. One through 11. About the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or the other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one could say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. I want everybody to say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
You just did that by the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. So in this room, this is what we see a lot in the church, right? We see a lot of division in church because one person could flow like this, the other person doesn't flow like that. And instead of them saying, yo, that's cool because my hand needs my foot, y'all say, that's not how I roll, so that must be where I'm not supposed to be at. You see, I'm gonna be fully transparent because I believe in this church we're a family. Yeah. One of the most intimidating things when I got into mission teens and I sat there and preached, and this was when I first came to this church, and Pastor Jose came and sat in the back. I said, "Uh-oh, this is my new pastor, and I'm afraid. What if I don't say what you know how he likes it in the hermeneutics? Y'all know what that means?" What if I'm not theologically spot on? What if I say the word John too much? Because when I get hyped, the Philly starts coming out of me. What if I just do some things that he just don't like? And here I am preaching, and this is my new pastor. It started to bring fear into me, right? It started to cast fear. As soon as I seen him, right, it was like, oh. The words on my iPad started going like this. And then I had to release that. I said, God, I'm me. You created me. You told me to say what I'm about to say. So if he has a problem with that, he could take it up with you, not me. I'm just the messenger. And then I just let it rip. Amen. Sorry, my iPad. I want you to know, no one is speaking by the Spirit of God, says Jesus, be cursed. There are different kinds of gifts. The same Spirit distributes them. The same Spirit that gives Pastor Jose revelation is the same Spirit that gives Kevin Rose a revelation. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are some people who are sitting back there making coffee, and that's the same Spirit that put them back there than Pastor Jose up here preaching. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by that one Spirit. Did you ever hear a pastor or a leader knock another minister or leader because they operate in a different calling than them? Man, that's all they do over there. Honda Shonda Kawasaki. That's all they do over there. They just want to be laying hands, and we never get to do this. Are they leading people to Christ? The same Spirit is at work in different people, and that's okay. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these things are at work. One of the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So now, you know who you are in Christ. You know that you each have a gift. You know that God told you that you should be using your gift. You know now that you have no excuse. You know now that I'm about to stare you deep in the face, and not only just me, but the Holy Spirit going to bring conviction down and say, what then are you doing with what he give you? Step 3. Josiah, put up step 3 real quick. Jojo, are you up back there on the thing? Oh, Micah, I'm sorry. That's cool, I'll just say it. Don't worry about it. I remember this song, right, when I was in Sunday school at Bethel Temple in Philadelphia when I was a young kid, and I used to sing this joint with all conviction, right? I used to sing this joint proud. It was like this. Obedience is the very best way to show that. You see, my wife went to Christian school. She said she never heard of that, John. Bully. That song. Obedience. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Step 3. When he move, you move. Just like that. Obedience. Hold on, but that's biblical. Hold on, I got that from Ruth. Ruth said, where you go, I'll go. She said, where you move, I move. Just like that. That's what Ruth said. But sometimes God gives us the tool. God will give us the word, and still we just don't be obedient. Come on, let's Moses, right? He was given a staff. Speak to the rock, but he hit the rock. Jonah ran when given a message to deliver. Peter used his sword to strike the guard instead of demonstrating the greatest weapon ever formed, love. Now that you know who you are, now that you've been given a calling, all I need you to do is get up and imagine a smartphone without service. There's an epidemic, though, going on in our churches. but the laborers are few. Somebody say Pareto. Y'all don't even know what that means. Y'all just saying stuff. What if I could just... I'm only kidding. I would never do that. The Pareto principle. The Pareto principle, also known as the 80-20 rule, suggests that 80% of effects come from 20% of causes. The principle can be applied to various aspects of life and work, from productivity to time management to business and problem solving. It states that a small portion of inputs often generate negative results. The 80-20 rule was created by Vilfredo Pareto, Italian economist and sociologist in the late 19th century. Pareto observed that approximately 80% of Italy's land was owned by 20% of the population. And he found similar patterns of imbalance in other areas, such as income and wealth distribution. His observations laid the foundation for what later became known as the Pareto principle, that roughly 80% of consequences come from 20% of causes. Examples of this are business. 80% of a company's revenue come from 20% of its customers. Software development. 80% of software areas might stem from 20% of the code. Time management. 20% of your daily tasks might contribute to 80% of your overall productivity. 20% of your study time might lead to 80% of your learning gains. And 20% of a product's features might be used by 80% of its users. Are we the old man in the Corvette, church? Are we a $150,000 vehicle with so much capabilities, so many functions, but only using 20% of it? Today is God's calling you to activate. Stop sitting around in that chair. Look deep and down inside of yourself. I'm going to start wrapping it up. Last week, Pastor was preaching about the man at Bethsaida. And I can remember turning around to Sister Sabrina. And when he was preaching, I said, man, you know, that man, you know, we could say a lot of things about him, right? But one thing, he persevered, man. He stood there for a long time. And some things started just speaking to me, and I want to tie it in. John 5:1-9. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. We talked about this last week. Now there in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethsaida, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. About this here. They waited for the moving of the waters. Scripts say this. They waited for the moving of the waters. From time to time, an angel of the Lord will come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance will be cured from whatever they had. Can the worship team just come up right now? Says one who was there who had been invalid for 38 years. So he was sitting there at Bethsaida, at the gates of Bethsaida, for as long as Pastor was alive, 38 years. When he lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for such a long time, he asked them this. He said, do you want to get well? Here we are at the altar of the Lord. How many of you guys can say the similar thing to me? I've been going to church all my life in some way, shape, or form. It was 10 years, or how about if it was 5 years? And you're like that invalid man. The same issues. week after week after week after week, month after month after month after month, you're laying there, you feel paralyzed. You don't feel like after God is using you in any way. Matter of fact, so many times you sat there at the pool and you watched other people hop in and you just sat there and you said, God, I just wish that was me today. God, I wish I would get my healing. God, I wish that was me talking today. God, I wish. And this invalid man just sat there. This invalid man sat there. And Jesus said, hold up. I could tell you that you got gifts. I could tell you you need to be using them. I could tell you what God said to me today. But my first question to you is, do you even want it? Do you even want it? Do you even want God to use you? Do you even want to go to the nations? Someone else hops in right before me. Yeah, that's because you're paralyzed, bro. What's your excuse? What is your excuse sitting here today, right here, right now, right here, right now? Isn't it crazy? 20% the leadership in this church pushed the vision of this church. And sometimes that gets tiring. Sometimes that gets, there's a burden that comes upon these leaders. I'm here to tell you today, Pastor Jose, help is on the way. Why? Because we're not going to sit back and be that church. We're not going to sit back and be that church that watches everyone do the heavy lifting. Today, I'm challenging you. Will you answer? Will you answer the call? I'm challenging you today. I'm looking dead at you today. Will you answer the call? The waters are stirring. service, and now I'm going to give you the opportunity. Listen, I'm not going to tell y'all to quietly, sadly, give a nice little stroll up to the altar. If you need something today, run up to where the waters are stirring. Run up. Don't be like that invalid man. Come run.